I give you some feedback? It's a question that gets asked a lot at the College for Congregational Development. When people attend the college, people have this opportunity to practice giving and receiving feedback a whole lot. They do it over and over and over. People do it enough to discover that it actually is kind of hard to give and to receive good feedback. Now, over the years, I have learned, sometimes the hard way, a whole bunch of important lessons about giving feedback. First, never sugarcoat the news. Sugarcoating bad news always makes it harder to bear. And while it might seem like the nice thing to do, in the end, it's not really the kind of thing to do. Second, get to the point. And resist that really, really strong urge to practice the sandwich method of giving feedback. You know the one. It's the one when critical feedback is somehow buried in the middle of a whole bunch of other talk as a way of disguising the bad news. That too is not a kind way of giving feedback. And finally, whatever else you do, don't delay. Doing so, especially when there is hard news to hear, makes it hard to both hear the news and to give it. Now, you may be familiar with these pearls of wisdom, and probably many more too, when it comes to giving feedback. And I bet that everyone here has been on the receiving end of at least one really difficult conversation. It is hard to bear and to hear hard news. And the Gospels make one thing clear. Jesus is a master at it. And today's gospel, well, it is a model example. So today's story picks up where we left off last week. Jesus has returned home to Nazareth, and he has a really important announcement to make. This long-awaited jubilee, well, it has finally arrived. The era of God's favor has begun. And Jesus, amazingly, has proclaimed it first in his hometown. Now, when his buddies hear this news, at least at first, they marvel and they wonder at their good fortune. They are the first to know, and surely that means something really, really special for the people of Nazareth. But then Jesus realizes something else. This short sermon that he gives is incomplete. He needs to give them a little bit more detail. His grace-filled words that he gives to the hometown crowd, well, they are not theirs alone to savor. There will be no special access for those locals. If anything, more will be expected of them. They are the inside crowd. And Jesus knows that as insiders, they are called to a special responsibility. They are the ones who are called to minister to the widow and to affirm the stranger. And that is special work. But he also wants the locals to know that while they are special, so is everyone else. Both the insiders and the outsiders will find favor in God's eyes. And wow, that is not the message that his hometown friends want to hear. The good news of God, well, for some reason, it is not good news to the people of Nazareth. And this dose of tough love that Jesus gives is more than they can bear. It drives them almost to the edge, and it drives them to almost throw Jesus over the edge. Now, Jesus escapes, but this passage leaves us wondering, what just happened? It turns so incredibly quickly from good news to rage to almost being thrown over this cliff. But it also begs, I think, a bigger question. Given the outcome, is there good news in this passage? After all, Jesus is the one who provokes the crowd. And wow, do they respond. They don't really respond, I guess. They actually really kind of react to what they hear. And when it is paired alongside Paul's epistle, it can be hard, really hard, to find anything patient or kind, let alone good, about what we have just heard. So what is the good news? Well, I think it's a question that we each asked ourselves every time we read Scripture. And for those of us who preach, it is that kernel of this process that we do to dig underneath, to figure out what God is trying to say in the middle of passages. Sometimes it can be really, really challenging to find that sliver of nice news in the rough parts of Scripture. But I think that might be the problem, because the good news is not necessarily nice news. And while it might be hard to hear, it is not kind to leave out those rough, tough parts of Scripture. Caroline Lewis, who is a professor at Luther Seminary, helps give us a little bit of context today. She says that when we make the gospel easier to swallow, we make the cross just death alone. And when we make the gospel a more pleasing option for life, we have said then that the empty tomb is not a real thing. And when we make the gospel simply about living, we have also forgotten that it is a choice about dying. And it is that dying that Jesus is trying to tell his friends in Nazareth about. It includes dying to the illusions that we tell ourselves and about other people. And it includes dying to those illusions that we tell ourselves about the realities of the world and the greater reality that God is envisioning for us. And without that dying, there is no real possibility for new life. As Paul points out, until any of us is on the other side of this life, we can never really fully know what awaits. Until then, all this human knowledge that we have, well, it is incomplete. And for now, all we can hope at best is for just a fuzzy understanding of what is and what is to come. And for many, and I will include myself in that, that's really frustrating. In his commentary on the epistle, Richard Hayes says that love rejoices in the truth, but at times it may require us to speak the hard truth to those who we care deeply about, to those who we love. Sometimes, kind and patient love really does disguise itself as tough love. And that kind of love, tough love, is what Jesus is practicing with his fellow neighbors and friends in Nazareth. The tough love of the gospel cannot be ignored any more than the good parts of the gospel, the happy parts, the joyous parts. Because that tough love reveals this uncomfortable truth about each one of us. It whispers that until we change, nothing else will change. And that can be hard to hear. So what happens when the good news is hard news to take? Well, we can be like the people of Nazareth, and we can reject it and refuse to accept any part of what we hear. Or we can ignore it and tell ourselves lots of stories about how what we are already doing fits within the confines of that good news. Or we can engage with it very curiously, and then we can become a part of building something new. That third choice, this choice to engage, it is that choice that we are all called to do and we all promise to do at our baptisms. Now, for decades, this cathedral community has chosen that third path, that path to engage. This month alone, St. Mark's as a community will have conversations, real and deep conversations, about race and homelessness and immigration. And these are not new conversations to this community. We've been engaged in them for a long time, but we continue them together we continue to hear this hard, hard news and the work that we are called to do in the midst of that hard work. And I encourage you, if you have not already done so, to be a part of at least one of those conversations this month. Will they make us uncomfortable, these conversations? Probably. Is there more that we can do and will do? Absolutely. Will those attempts be successful? Well, I don't know. But what I do know is that until we try, nothing new will change. And nothing new will grow out of our efforts. As Mother Teresa said so long ago, our practice of faith is about our faithfulness, not about being successful in that practice. And being faithful means being engaged. Jesus reveals a good news that is grounded in this unfailing mercy and justice and love of God. And that same good news, well, it finds its meaning in our doubt and in our rejection and in those little deaths that we experience too. Those disappointments and those deaths, they become the raw material for something new that is springing up. They hold that possibility for transformation. They also reveal that nothing is lost in God's economy. Not even our rejection of ourselves and of one another and of God. And surely that is good news. Jesus practiced this tough love on his friends in Nazareth, not to be mean or to be dismissive, but because it was an act of kindness. It was his way of being kind and compassionate to those who he cared deeply for. The locals in Nazareth, they were not the first ones either for him to practice this tough love. Many others throughout the Gospels know this practice too. And we know this tough love as well. Even when it is hard to bear, tough love is a part of eternal love. It is this kind of love that says to us it is okay to name the hard parts of reality. And it is the kind of love that invites us further into those greater realities that God is always envisioning each one of us to. So I invite you to wonder, what is tough about the good news that you hear in the gospel? And when you wonder, think about what a faithful response might be today and every day as you leave this place.